The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
How many plan on honoring their mothers today? If your mother is alive, if she's not, you still want to honor her, right? Hallelujah. We always want to honor our mothers. It's interesting how Mother's Day got started, because there was a lady by the name of Ann Jarvis who wanted to honor her mother. And she, her mother was a peace activist during the Civil War, and she cared for soldiers on both sides of the conflict. And she also went around setting up work days. They called them Mother Day work days, where they would educate people on health care, families. And of course, in those days, there was a little education about that and how to take care of your family and different things. So Ann Jarvis wanted to honor her mother. So at her memorial service, she had the first Mother's Day service, and she honored her, and that was in 1905. From there, she started lobbying states to begin a Mother's Day, to have state Mother's Day, and eventually she wanted it to become a national holiday. Well, in 1910, the first state, West Virginia, which was her home state, declared a formal Mother's Day. And from there, it just began to grow. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson established a national Mother's Day. Now, we all think, you know, Mother's Day's been around forever, but you know, it hasn't been that long ago that it was established. Now, that's just part of the story. The rest of the story is that during the period of time that Ann Jarvis was still alive, Mother's Day caught on. But it not only caught on, merchandisers began to realize there was money to be made. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. However, Ann Jarvis became very distraught with the way Mother's Day was being celebrated, because people were just buying things, bringing it in, giving it to mother, and on about their business, instead of actually spending a day honoring their mother, which is what I believe we should be doing. So by 1920s, she was so distraught with the way that Mother's Day had turned out that she began to lobby to cancel Mother's Day. Seems crazy, doesn't it? But what her idea was, that Mother's Day would be a time where you wrote nice notes, homemade cards, come into your mother's home and honor her, love her, and lift her up. And reality is, sometimes Mother's Day has just become a time where we purchase something, a card or a gift, take it, plop it down on the counter, and we're gone. Let's not let it be that way, okay? Let's make Mother's Day something really significant for our mothers. Honor your mother. If she is deceased, honor her. Honor her with telling stories about your mother. Sit around with your family and talk about your mother. Pass on information to your children about your mother or your grandmother, the heritage that you had. And maybe you don't have such a great heritage. Now is the time to begin one. Make sure that you're not the one that keeps that negative heritage going, that you change the direction. And you can do that in Jesus Christ. I have absolutely no doubt about it. My message this morning is, her children shall call her blessed. I take that out of Proverbs chapter 31. How many are familiar with chapter 31 Proverbs? Virtuous woman is what we refer to it as. In Proverbs chapter 31, I believe it's, let me look and see real quick. I think it's verse 18. Nope, I was wrong. Verse 28 says, her children shall rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also the praises of her. Wow. This is describing a woman who is walking in such a way that her children will rise up and call her a blessed woman. And her husband, likewise, will praise her wherever he goes. There's an old Spanish proverb that says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. And I think that's pretty good. I like it. Listen, by the time a mother has children and she raises a child to the age of 18, a mother has handled some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. How many of you mothers know what I'm talking about? Yeah, amen. If a woman doesn't have a child, that's equivalent to an extra 3 months of leisure time. Pretty incredible when you think about it. I've heard it said that that you invest about $1 million in every child that you have over their lifetime. In my case, it's $2 million. I want to invest in my children. And investing in your children is not just money. It's everything that you have. It's who you are. It's really important that we recognize. I want you to understand something. I have a wonderful mother, and my mother taught me some very important principles. My mother taught me to pray. When I spilled grape juice on her carpet, she said, "You better pray, boy, that comes out." So I prayed. She also taught me to think ahead. Whenever I went out somewhere, she said, "Make sure you don't have holes in your underwear. You might have an accident." That's right. How many have heard that before? Come on. Those are wonderful mothers to have. People who help you look to the future. Here's a couple other things that I learned from my mother. My mother taught me irony. She said, "You just keep on laughing and I'll give you something to cry about." My mother taught me stamina. You will sit there until you finish that spinach, if it takes the rest of your life. My mother taught me the circle of life. She said, "I brought you into this world and I can take you out." Those are kind of fun things, but we all probably have heard some of that stuff as we were growing up. And I tell you the truth, I just want to praise God for the mother that I have, because I do have a very good mother who's instilled some very good godly principles in my life. And if one of the first things we want to talk about this morning, if you turn to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, that's where we're going to start. The New King James Version says this: "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." So the kind of woman that her children rise up and call her blessed is someone who is trustworthy. You can trust her. She is worthy of your trust. Body of Christ, it is very important that we all be trustworthy. We be the kind of person that when we say something, people know that we're going to do our best to do it and get it done. That we can be trusted to handle a situation properly, godly, in such a way that it glorifies the kingdom of God. And particularly for women who are raising their children, you have the greatest influence on your children in the household. Mothers, you know, some of us fathers want to influence our children. Yeah, praise God, we want to do that. But the mother has the greatest influence on their children. Usually not until they get a little older do the fathers have a great influence on their children. My grandsons, As much as I love those little boys, I try to teach them things and love them and care about them. When it comes to bedtime, you know who they want to sleep with? Graham. They want to spend time with Graham. Graham tells them stories. I tell them, shut up and go to sleep. It's a man thing. Trustworthy. Got to be trusted. You know, we have to have the right standard of measurement. A little boy came in and told his mother, he said, I'm 9 feet tall. She said, what in the world are you talking about? He said, yeah, I'm 9 feet tall. She said, what'd you measure yourself with? He said, my shoe, and I'm really 9 feet tall. That's the wrong standard of measurement. The standard of measurement that many people are raising their children by today is the standard of the world. And that world standard is wrong. That measurement is wrong. You might raise up children with a great education. Praise God, we want our children to have good education. I don't know how they're going to get it with this Common Core anymore. We want our children to have good education. We want to train up our children to be trustworthy people, to recognize, you know, what it means to walk in such a way that they're people that are called someone of integrity. We want our children to do these things, but the measurement by which we raise our children, if it's the world's standards, the things that the world's teaching, let me tell you, take some time and watch television that is directed toward your children. Don't just sit them down in front of the TV and let them watch it. Because I can tell you, it's not the standard that you would want in your life and in their life. It's pretty easy sometimes to put a kid in front of the TV and let him be the babysitter. You know, sometimes we feel like we have to. We're busy, busy, busy. But if you do that constantly, they are going to learn a different standard than you want them to learn. It has to be the right measurement. And the right measurement is the Word of God. That's why it's so important that you have your children here at church. I know I'm speaking to the choir this morning. Praise God. You're all here. You usually come here. You're a part of Bethel Worship Center, and you get your children in church and in children's church, and they're learning and they're growing. But that can't be the only thing that is happening. You have to sow seed into their life at home. You have to teach them. You have to be careful with what you allow to come in their spirit, get into their spirit. That's why all this nonsense that is being promoted on TV is ridiculous stuff. Do you realize that Disney and Nickelodeon and all these programs, and they're not all bad, I'm not trying to paint them with a broad picture. I'm just trying to say, make sure you know what is being taught to your children through the medium of television. But Nickelodeon said, we own your children. They're bold enough to say, we own the children of the United States. And they're probably right. We want to counteract that and know that our children have our values, our standards, biblical values, biblical standards. And it's the only way that is really going to happen is if they see it in you. If they can know that you are trustworthy. I thank God that I am surrounded by trustworthy women. My mother is a trustworthy person all my life. If she said something, I could trust it was going to happen, including when I needed to be whipped, got out of line, which was often. Thank God for Hot Wheels track. Well, I'm not so sure I'm thanking God for it, but it could be painful. But it keeps you in line. Come on. We need that. I have a trustworthy wife. I could trust her with anything. I don't have to worry about her. Praise God. Women, that's what a man needs, is someone that is trustworthy. But it goes the other way, too. We all have to be trustworthy. I have two trustworthy daughters, beautiful young ladies. Beth is raising two wonderful little boys, but they are all boy. And they try her constantly. But man, there's not a better mother on the face of the earth than my daughter Beth. I have a trustworthy daughter-in-law, Tricia. We trust her. Praise God. And Micah, I can't say that that was the case with all your girlfriends. He chose the right one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Being trustworthy. It's how important. It's so, so very important. All right. The next thing. Verse 13 through 19. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. Distaff is the thing that holds the wool when you're spinning. She's the kind of woman we're talking about that her children rise up and call her blessed is not only trustworthy, but she is also industrious. She works with her hands. But she is more than just works with her hands around the house. This woman invests. This woman has a career. This woman is doing something outside the house. This is amazing in this day and time that we see this happening. Because it was a man's world. And maybe it wasn't as much of a man's world as we are led to believe. Because women have always had a certain amount of power and authority when it comes to ruling over men. Don't you think? Amen. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. But this woman invested wisely. Listen. Today, I know that the world would try to tell you that your career as a woman is the most important thing. You should be career-minded. And I have nothing wrong with you having a career. Nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I believe that God would have you be a career person. But if that career gets out of line, if it's more important to you than first God, than your husband, than your children, you see, it's pretty far down the line. It goes to say, it's not just women, it goes the same for men. If our career becomes our identity, we're in trouble. The career cannot be number one. God has to be number one. If you get God in order, if you get that relationship with Almighty God in order, all these relationships like this, horizontal relationships will be in order. It's number one. If you get God, you get your spouse and your children, then you can have a career, and then you can have right relationships with other people. Then you can be the kind of person that this Bible, the Word of God, is talking about, putting it all in perspective. Amen? Here's something we seldom think about, but you know, Paul's first European convert was a lady by the name of Lydia, and she was a businesswoman. She was from Thyatira, which was a place that had the secret to purple dyes, and they made some beautiful purple fabric and clothing. Many people believe that they held that secret for a long, long time and didn't let it out because it was very profitable for them. So Lydia was a businesswoman that dealt in fine clothing and fine purples. And she was also a seeker of God. She had not yet become a proselyte Jew, but like a lot of people, she was seeking after God. And the Jewish people recognized those people and said, you know, these are good Gentiles. They're seeking after the one true God. And she was gathering at the place to pray. And Paul comes in and starts telling her about Jesus. And she begins to realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, because she had some knowledge about who the Messiah would be and where he'd come from. And she began to put it all into perspective and realize Jesus is a Messiah, and she came to Christ. And because of her wealth and her prominent position, she was able to influence many people in her city and other and surrounding areas. Sometimes we like to downplay the reality of being in a powerful position, but it carries with it the ability, if you're a godly person, to influence people for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Now, I know I'm preaching better than you're acting this morning. This is good word. Number 3, verse 20 and And then we're going to jump down to 26. She extends her hands to the poor. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She's generous. This kind of woman that her children rise up and call her blessed is not only trustworthy, she's not only industrious, but she is generous and kind. She loves people. And she tries to share that. And her family sees that she loves that. Loves people. And it makes an impact on their life. My son-in-law, Brady, once said about Tammy, he said, I think she goes and buys things just so she can give them away. Now, her mother was just like that. You couldn't get away from her house without her giving you something. She expected you to eat every time. You better be hungry when you go to Eileen's house, because she wanted you to eat something. She wasn't satisfied until you would eat something. And she is always giving something away. Tammy's the same way. She always gives. It's not about how much she has. It's how much she has to give away. And she's kind. How many know Tammy is kind? She cares about people. Absolutely. She makes up for me sometimes. Praise God. You know, that's the reason God put us together. We balance each other out. Isaiah 32, verse 8 says, but a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. That goes for man or woman. That's gender neutral there. A generous person is known by their generosity. That's what it's saying. What is God saying to you? You know, we've got these chickens and we've got eggs, and we do try to sell some of those eggs to help make up for the cost of keeping chickens. We have 30 chickens now. And, you know, if in order for me to recoup my investment, because I had to build a hen house and fences and all kinds of things. I even had to put a fence around my garden. Because you know what's going to happen if I don't do that. In order for me to recoup my investment in these chickens, I'm going to have to charge $60 a dozen. So please line up so I can recoup my investment. But that's not what it's all about. You know? Yes, they are. That's not what it's all about. We do sell some of them, but you know what? We give away as many as we sell. It's nice to be able to have something like that that will bless people, and they receive. And Tammy, you know, she'd give them all away if I'd let her. She is so good about that. Generous and kind. Trustworthy, industrious, generous, kind. Verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Her children rise up and call her blessed. She's a maternal, she has that maternal instinct to nurture and care for. I heard a wise mother once say that she wanted her home to be the kind of place where her children would bring their friends so that they would, she would be there to influence all of them. Growing up, my mom, she was wonderful in our, we had this small community where we lived, and we had kids that would come, and we'd always play, usually play in our yard and around our farm. And some of those kids would come in, and they didn't have the nicest home life. But my mom always treated them like they were just almost like her kids. She would feed them. She would make sure they had plenty to eat. She'd sometimes even wash their clothing and do all kinds of, fix their clothing, do all kinds of things like that, that tried to make up for some of the things that they were missing out on. That's the kind of woman I grew up with. Praise God. And I want to encourage you. That maternal instinct, it's in there. Stir it up. Thomas Edison once said that, "I didn't have my mother for long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life." He actually said that he thought he probably wouldn't have turned out to be the person that he turned out to be had he not had the kind of mother that loved and cherished him. So the fifth thing is godly. First of all, we want to be trustworthy, be industrious, be generous, maternal. And number five is godly, verse 29 through 31. "My daughters have done well. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruits of her hand, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Man, what a word. No wonder her children rise up and call her blessed. She's godly. She's trustworthy. She's industrious. She's generous, kind. She's maternal. But most important, she's godly. My mother, when I was growing up, took time to instill godly principles in us. It must, many times to my chagrin, I wasn't happy about it. I didn't always want to hear. You know, after you hear these Bible stories 100,000 times, you don't always want to hear them again, right? But that's important. That's part of instilling the godly principles in our children. Telling and telling and retelling and over and telling them over and over again so that when they rise up, I remember, you know, when I became a young man and Tammy and I started dating and we would talk a little bit about the Bible, she would be amazed. She had, "Why do you have so much knowledge about the Bible?" At the time, I didn't know. I don't know. I was raised in it. I don't know. You see, she went to church almost every Sunday. And it's nothing against her parents. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just telling you. There was a difference in, remember, I was the firstborn in my household, and I only had two brothers. Tammy had 10 siblings. So her life was a little different. But I knew these things because I heard them over and over and over and over. Praise God for godly parents that will instill godly principles in us. That's probably the most important. All these other things are important because they come out of having a godly life. We receive that as we walk in that godliness, as we understand what the Word of God says, it causes us to be all these other things. Now I want to tell you this morning, not everybody had a good relationship with their mother or their father. But I want to make sure you understand this. It is vitally important that you allow God to do some healing in your heart. If you did not have that good relationship. And wherever you are, because if you continue to embrace those things, the pain, the difficulties, the control sometimes that was exerted over you, if you continue to embrace them, they will destroy your life. God wants to set you free. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe we can all walk in all these things that I talked about this morning. Not just mothers, the body of Christ. Amen. Stand with me. Short message this morning. We all want to go dinner with our mothers, right?
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about sharing this message with you today. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about the ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at bethelwc.org. Have a blessed day.